You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Time again for Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Your weekly session of hearing us talk a little and play some new music and hang out with you in our pseudo living room. My name's Ian. This is Ryan the Beard.
Yo, yo.
Kevin is not here this week because I think he's... Didn't he score a free vacation pass?
Yeah,
it was a free hotel stay down there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Free hotel
in Portland.
Stay. So I believe the quote was, I'm going to go down to Portland and look at some...
Really? Is that word for word?
Just about. Something along those lines.
Steak and legs?
Yeah, I think that's the idea, man. He's going to the Flesh Ballet.
Well, for what it is worth, I did see him post that he was at a bookstore earlier. So he's being halfway wholesome.
So that's what they're calling him these days.
Anyway, so Kevin's gone this week, but he'll be back. Is this 79, right?
I believe so.
Cool.
I hope so.
All right. Well, here we are again, man. The weather has turned to absolute... my car got a hit and run this week, and all kinds of weird kind of stuff happened this week.
Yeah, give me the rundown. Give me the lowdown.
Well, I was playing a show last Friday night. Oh, wait, no. What was it? Thursday. We were playing at the Victory Lounge, downtown Seattle, actually just right down the street from here. And the night went on, everything was totally fine. I found a pretty decent parking spot on the side of the road for free, which was nice. So I load all my gear in after we play, and we're all, you know, hanging out and have a good time. And as I go back to my car to get back into it, I notice that somebody had sideswiped part of the mirror, my side mirror off of my car. So that's gone. So I got to pay for that now.
That's tight.
So that's just one thing. I kind of want to wait until next week to talk about this a little more with Kevin, because Kevin was better friends with Tim Butcher than I was. But our friend Tim, who played in a lot of good bands, Pressure and a band called Minus from Southern California, passed away today. He had been in a coma for about a week, and I think they took him off of support today. So it's also kind of a good thing that Kevin's gone so he can hang out with Kyle down there and they can kind of just have the weekend, you know what I mean? So our thoughts go out to them. And then obviously also Scott Weiland passed away this week.
Which is weird.
Which is pretty wild.
Yeah, that guy was seeming like he was impervious to just about everything at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and he was still going.
Yeah, there's all that footage of him just really going to town on stage. So, you know, I figured the guy would be able to... Seemed like one of those rock stars that could just... put anything in his body and just keep trucking, but guess not.
What did you do? What was up with you this week? What'd you do?
Well, I got my computer broke, which was fun. And so
you got your computer broke?
Got my computer breaking.
How'd you break your computer?
Yeah, the audio jack had a red light coming out the side of it, so I brought it into the Genius Bar, and after waiting an hour and a half, and this is after my overnight shift here, so I'm all zonked out and not wanting to do anything.
Maybe that was your first mistake.
Yeah, right. Well, I had another overnight coming up that night. And
so you need the computer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I had my laptop sitting on the counter, and this guy comes and puts his box on the counter. This is after waiting about an hour and a half. Slides the box, hits the laptop, laptop hits the floor.
So laptop slides off the countertop.
Yep.
Did it bounce?
It did not bounce. It was just solid...
What did it sound like?
Thunk. It sounded like my heart hitting the pavement, man.
Yeah, I know. I threw my guitar across the stage once on accident. Probably doesn't really matter what it sounds like. It just sounds like...
Yeah, exactly. Strap locks, dude. They're a thing.
It was the 5-cent piece of plastic that, you know, you use to adjust the length of your strap. That's what broke. So, can't really do anything about that. So, okay, so you broke it or somebody else broke it? The guy at the store broke it.
The genius broke it. The genius at the Genius Bar broke it.
Not very genius move, man.
No. So they offered me a new laptop at half price, and they offered to fix my old laptop for half price.
God, that's a pretty genius racket, geniuses.
Which kind of...
Here, let me break what you already have, and then you can buy a new one from us.
Definitely pissed me off to no end. I ended up getting a used one. Refurbished laptop.
Gotcha.
Which was nice. And
because they had tossed it off the shelf for somebody else. Earlier that week.
Apparently. So, yeah. Ended up with a backup laptop, so I guess that'll be nice. But
is that what you have right here?
Yeah. I'm not too jazzed about having to spend all the money, but at the same time, you know.
Tis the holidays, man. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, right.
With your new computer. Yeah, so just weird energy flowing around the...
Yeah. Speaking of holidays, have you done your Christmas shopping yet?
I haven't done it. Well, I've done a couple of things, but no, not really.
All right, so we were in the mall yesterday.
Oh, God.
Had to go into Zumiez looking for something for my little sister. We barely even talked in the last year and a half or so, so I'm just scrambling, looking anywhere for anything. You. The guy at Zumiez, I walked in, and he genuinely could not figure out how I was able to breathe with my beard.
He's like, is that steel wool?
I think he was really baked out of his mind, man. And he
had Zumiez?
Right.
Shocking.
So as I'm leaving, he was training some new employee.
Oh, God.
And he dropped this one on me. Every now and then, I'd like to think I'm still young enough to be with it, but every now and then I'll hear a bit of slang that just makes no sense.
Uh-oh.
He used the term, that's so skate. Kind of like that's so Raven. I guess. Like, it's just like, yeah, dude, that's so skate.
Man.
I don't know if that was just him being a stoner, and I'm really hoping that's not like some new slang.
That's like word salad.
Yeah. I mean, it really,
pick a word.
It sets the radar off like nobody's business, man.
Well, at least he was saying if that's so skate at a Zumiez.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't like fucking JCPenney or like somewhere where that wouldn't have made any sense at all.
Right.
I guess it still doesn't, but yeah, you and I both on that. I've never heard that before. That's so skate. I'm going to start saying that to you now.
Dude, I brought
Dude,
it up.
Your beard's so skate.
I brought it up to my buddy Scotty, who skates all the time, and he just said, man, if somebody said that to me, I would strike them down.
Yeah, that's when you truck stomp them. That's so skate. Well, it ain't all handshakes and high fives, man. Every once in a while, you gotta tweet. But that's fine, because we're still with it. And we got a ton of metal news this week. Before the end of the year, people are trying to get new albums in and starting to talk about the new stuff coming up in 2016. I guess that's a good place to start, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm down for that. So let's just jump into the new stuff. Anthrax just posted that their new album, For All Kings, is going to be coming out pretty soon. They just put out a teaser for it. Normally, these album teaser videos really just kind of piss me off because it's just kind of... You know, it doesn't really do anything
for you. It's just the standard, here's me playing a guitar in a room. You can't really tell what I'm doing.
Yeah, but anytime Anthrax does anything, I get a little bit stoked because they're such an awesome band.
And their videos have always been good. So let's check this out. It's about a minute and a half.
I think you'll find on this record there's a lot of cool stuff. It's really different. Again, we've always have something different. There's a lot of, like, aggressive stuff. I think the album's heavier. There's a lot more going on. There's a lot more excitement in different ways than the last one. We stuck to our guns, and we haven't changed anything. And you get what you get from Anthrax, you know, as much as you know it. And then people who've never heard it are really excited because they see something a little bit more eccentric and really, really fresh.
The record itself is going to be 12 songs. That is a variety of Anthrax material that will take you on a journey from start to finish.
I look at every record as of its time. We have this window of time where we start writing an album and then obviously start recording a record.
Is he stoned?
Mix a record. And then we've got this finished thing in our hands.
So it's finally great to have something that has myself on it, you know, the way I play. So that'll be cool. Yeah, I just can't wait for the record to come out, and I just hope people dig it.
I just hope everybody out there, I hope you enjoy the record as much as we enjoyed making it. We're really stoked on it.
Okay, maybe I take that back. That was kind of uninformative.
Basically, all I got out of that was, whoa, we needed to make a new record, so we tried to make it sound like us, but try a couple new things, maybe.
But it's exciting in different ways.
So basically, we wrote the songs, and then we went into the studio, and we recorded them.
And now we got a new record out.
Now we've got a new record.
Cool. Slayer's coming back to town. They have announced the tour dates, or at least most of them, and the one we care about most is going to be Saturday night, March 19th, at the Paramount in Seattle, Washington.
Ooh, I'm bummed that's on Saturday. That is a kick in the tail.
That's going to be Rock, Paper, Scissors. Who's going to the show? Yeah, it's going to be at the Paramount, which is going to be cool. I can't recall seeing a metal show at the Paramount recently. I guess maybe the Deftones Dillinger Escape Plan?
I was not.
That was like 2011, 2010 yeah. maybe?
Before me, man.
So, yeah, March 19th at the Paramount.
That's a great lineup, too.
It's cool. It's a little smaller than WAMU. I am kind of stoked.
I'm into that.
Okay, so I just wanted to get a couple of stories in before we start talking about Scott Weiland dying this week. So, according to TMZ, who was, like, always, for some reason, like, the first to get the scoop, they probably just pay money for it. Stone Temple Pilots and Velvet Revolver singer Scott Weiland was found dead on his tour bus this last week in Minnesota. They also charged the guitar player of the band that he was in with cocaine possession. It was a band called Scott Weiland and the Wildabouts. Scott Weiland was only 48. I also was reading an interview that his girlfriend of the last 5 years did, claiming that he hadn't been using drugs, although they did find cocaine in his, like, room, his, you know, trailer room or whatever.
Man.
Yeah, only 48 years old, man. Obviously, Scott Weiland has been having problems with drugs and alcohol since he's been in the spotlight, you know?
Yeah.
Since before that, sure, I'm sure, too. But, you know, whether or not he was using drugs at age 48 after, you know, abusing your body like that in, like, the rock star lifestyle and the drugs and the booze.
Yeah.
For that long, that hard.
It's, he could have just messed you up.
But, his body was probably just all kinds of f***ed up.
Well, you heard about what they're doing with Ozzy with the DNA thing, right?
What's that?
Apparently, they're analyzing Ozzy's genetic structure to figure out how the hell he survived putting his body through all that. And this sounds like a clickhole thing. This is a real deal. Apparently, they're so shocked that the human body could take that much abuse for that long that they're trying to figure out what
and
about...
And still keep going.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out what about him made it so that he was able to do that.
Ugh. Yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, like, some people just have a proclivity to living longer. It's just in your genetics. If it's in your family line where you've had hard drinkers in your family for the last, you know, 300 years or whatever. I mean, look at Lemmy.
Yeah.
Look at f***ing Keith Richards, dude. You know, like, in fact, the entire band, the Rolling Stones, the majority of Led Zeppelin, who's still around, you know, all of those dudes, all of the dudes in Crew, Poison, and even the dudes in Kiss, for some, you know, some of those guys, they're all still around. I don't know. Some people just die. I wouldn't call it luck. It's just when it's your time, it's your time. So rest in peace, Scott Weiland. I also was beefing with a former bandmate of mine this week because he had been gone from Twitter. Or not Twitter, from Facebook for like 3 years. And then he gets back on the day Scott Weiland dies, like logs back in for the first time in 3 years. The very first thing he says is talking, he's just like, oh, I never liked that motherfucker anyway, and all this other shit. And I was just like, dude.
You know, even if you don't like the guy or you don't like his music or something like
what's
that,
wrong with you
don't just.
Come on. So yeah, super classless. I hate that. I hate when people just troll people that are, it's like Westboro Baptist Church kind of. Like, even if you don't agree, per se, you don't have to be the first one out flying in everybody's face about it. Like, oh, yeah, I'm so fucking punk. So, yeah, I mean, it's bad news for anybody who knows anybody that had or has substance abuse issue problems.
Right.
While I'm sitting here drinking a beer, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's...
But it ain't crack.
True. You know, it's kind of one of those things, we always think of rock stars as... have a tendency to think of rock stars as almost immortal, you know, just unable to be fazed by anything,
like, and God status.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when they finally bite the dust, it's always so much harder and it has so much more of an impact than.
Well, think about this. Like, think about all of the legendary metal heroes that are still around.
Yeah,
and how old they are and what their age group is.
Right,
there's going to be a point, and it's going to be about a decade long, where we see all of them pass on. It's going to happen in our lifetimes if we live long enough for no other reason than they're 50, 60 years older than us already.
Yeah, man.
So it's just, and then.
I think people tend to forget how young metal is as a genre,
right?
As a thing, you know? It's one of the few genres out there where the guys who came up with it are still walking around.
Exactly.
Doing things.
They're like, literally, we created this.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Scott Weiland. See you the next time around, bro. Speaking about another dude who's apparently, like, the truth, quote-unquote, is coming out that Aboth has been having his own substance abuse battles for years now, apparently.
Man.
We've haven't really heard much from either side about what's going on with the battle with Immortal, the band.
Yeah.
But the band came out this week and had a few things to say because they literally are having a... they just closed the Immortal trademark case. So now they can finally speak about it because it's been under litigation. And you can't talk about it, you know, obviously, when there's a lawsuit going on or whatever. So they said, the conflict was not about anybody leaving the band, as Aboth claimed. It was all about his personal problems. He'd canceled rehearsals and ruined the band's progress for a very long time. We were forced to confront him about it. The band had to reschedule rehearsals all the time because of him. Even then, he did not show up. He told the band's friends and family that he needed to go to rehab again. He had got help from a clinic before. We offered to wait for him to recover this time also. Sadly, he changed his decision. Instead of trying to solve his problems, he went behind our back and secretly applied for a trademark, ownership of the band's logo and name. It was hard to believe that his problems had led him to such a point. When his attempt to get the rights was discovered by the band, he all of a sudden went solo. His accusations against the band and media changed from day to day. The fans started to question his version and wanted us to speak about what really happened. Unfortunately, we had to wait until the case was all closed to make a statement. To wrap this up, his trademark application was denied and the case closed by the Patent Steerit in November 2015. One of the reasons was because he had only contributed as a co-writer of music in Immortal, nor did he contribute any lyrics or titles to the band's albums. Did not know that. The fact is that the music has always been a result from the band as a unit. We are very well prepared and looking forward to present the new material to the fans. We did not want to rush things, but take the time to deliver another high-quality Immortal album. More news is coming soon. And Immortal will record a new album in 2016, which will be released by Nuclear Blast Records.
Huh.
So it's officially a awkward-ass split. And Aboth is headlining the Decibel Tour.
Yeah.
2016 with High on Fire. So, what would you do? What if, like, one of your bandmates was just, like, super f***ing acting like a dick because he's on drugs and doing all kinds of stupid just pissing you off, and then all of a sudden he disappears and goes, oh, by the way, I'm taking this whole band with me. Bye. Or at least he tried to.
Well, luckily I've never been in that situation.
I mean, what would you... That's the situation. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is the truth.
I wouldn't know what to do with it. I mean, I'd have to take a minute and calm up. First, I'd have to take a good couple days to calm myself down because I'd be pretty steamed about the whole issue.
Especially when he's out there talking all kinds of trash.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what I'd do. Yeah. So, Rotten Sound just posted a teaser about their new album, and it has absolutely no music on it. So, yet again, I guess I'm just...
What's that all about?
Yeah. Let's, can we play this? Do you have the link in front of you?
So it's a non-album track, so it's not going to be on the record.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They put out an album teaser with a song that's not going to be on the record.
Oh, well, whatever. I guess the point is, like, here's what production's going to sound like. I don't know. For anybody who cares.
Weird.
I mean, it's also just kind of like a slow jam.
Maybe it's a track they didn't...
they're probably just like, we're just going to toss that one or whatever. Put it on the teaser. I don't know. It sounds cool. I like that band a lot.
Yeah, man.
That was one of the first bands that we had in studio at the radio station here.
Those guys are freaking great.
Yeah, they're hilarious. We gave their singer, Kai, a book of American naughty words. It was like a dictionary. And he was like, oh, my God, this is the best thing ever. This will make this tour amazing. It's like, oh, cool. Glad to be of service, dude. Hatebreed is just re-signed with Nuclear Blast Records. They their last record, which was called The Divinity of Purpose, which I honestly don't even remember. I don't think I ever even really listened through that one. I should probably go back and listen to that. They said, Hatebreed signing to Nuclear Blast Worldwide cannot come in a better time, and we're extremely excited to get this new album out and commence the world tour in 2016 and 2017. So there you go. They're going to be working with Zeus.
Hmm.
And Josh Wilbur, who mixed Lamb of God and Megadeth.
Very cool.
So tentatively out in the spring of 2016.
More breakdowns for the kiddies.
God, and I swear to God, every time I see Hatebreed, specifically and only Hatebreed and Jamie Johnston and Hatebreed, he says more and more the broiest I've ever heard in my life. Everybody, cheer if you love I was like, what? Seriously? All right.
Have you seen the Hatebreed motivational posters that were making the rounds a bit ago?
Oh, those are good. Best lyrics, dude. Good gym, going to the gym band, as Gym Rat Matt could attest.
So, I got no segue for this. I'm just going to dive in. Behemoth the Satanist has recently been nominated for a Polish Film Award, which is pretty cool. So I guess Behemoth just keeps racking up the awards.
That music video tripped me the f*** out. It's so f***ing creepy. And apparently it's like it's a metaphor for like some kind of angel being or something like that.
Jesus.
I'd have to look into it. I was reading an article about it before, but yeah, you can really dig deep into that.
Huh. Well, go then.
It's creepy. Napalm of Death have just announced a bigger tour with the Melvins and Melt Banana.
Sick.
That's...
Dude, that lineup is unfuckable. That's so good.
Something for everyone.
Man, I get a... Weren't we talking about this like a week or two ago about how mixed lineup bills are just the best effing
thing. They are.
They
always are. Always, always, always. I love that. And it's going to be here at the Showbox on May 1st in Seattle.
Which is perfect, too. Man, Melt Banana at a bigger venue and Napalm Death at a bit of a smaller venue.
And the Melvins just
And the Melvins just tearing it up. Yeah, the Melvins anywhere.
The Savage Imperial Death March Tour. The tour poster is a bunch of soldiers from World War I, a T-Rex, a TIE fighter, and a jackalope.
That's awesome.
May 1st, Seattle, Napalm Death, the Melvins, and Melt Banana.
Dude, I bet that green room area is just the weirdest effing place.
Yeah. For some reason, I bet they're all like really good friends, though.
And just
after
like,
all this time.
In some weird way.
Yeah. I mean, they're all very different. You know, Barney's a vegan and like very politically active. And, you know, King Buzzo's like super into like, dude, just every single that thing's just going to trip me the fuck out. We should just toss a wild card in and just drop some acid and see what happens.
Get weird.
When we go to that show.
Dude, can we just dose out Max and I'll follow him around and film him the entire time?
If that's the case, you literally have to put him on a leash. I'm serious, like a dog leash, like around his wrist or his ankle or something, with a little bell on it. When he starts to get too far away, it's like ding, 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 ding. Oh shit! I gotta go find Max.
He's all messed up.
Where's he going? Stop licking the walls.
Nails is gonna be recording a new album.
Nice.
Which is rad. Let's see here. In fear of sounding redundant of how 97% of these pre-album release descriptions always come off, I won't try to describe how our new album, You Will Never Be One of Us, sounds. What I will tell you is that the same care and the same attention went into this album as our previous albums, On Silent Death and Abandon All Life. And our new album sounds as inspired as either those two full-length recordings.
Cool.
So, yeah, very cool.
More of the same, which is good. That's what I want. Agoraphobic Nosebleed has new music coming out. It's an EP called Arc, and it's going to be the first in a series of four EPs. This one's got three songs on it.
Very cool. They're taking the Phil approach.
Yes. It's going to be coming out on Relapse Records, and they've been playing shows. They played Housecore Fest. They have a drummer. I don't know who it is, but it's probably Maniac.
It's the drummer from Misery Index.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I believe awesome. So.
Cool. So yeah, new Agoraphobic Nosebleed. You want to hear a little piece of it?
Yeah,
I haven't
heard
this yet. Let's see what it's coming out January 22nd.
We'll be right back.
groovy. I expected it to be more grindy. It's not grindy, it's groovy. Anyway, so that's a taste of it. Kind of like that Rotten Sound song. It's just...
Hey, man, all these grind bands getting into the stony stuff. I'm not complaining. That's good stuff.
I want to hear their take on it.
Speaking of a band that is neither one of those things, Megadeth recently announced that they are going to be touring North America. Or they are going to announce it. Sorry.
They announced their announcement, okay?
God, I always got to triple read these Megadeth articles because they're always...
Flipping a loop on you.
Yeah, man.
Oh, hey, we got a text from Ryan Castle earlier this week, and we have an interview with Dave Mustaine Friday at 11:40 a.m. If you want to be here for that, it'll be on the phone. Oh, yeah, I know you want to be here for that, Ryan. Don't fucking look at me like that.
I kind of do. I kind of do, man. I want to...
You can't bust his balls,
I want to apologize for not being able to hang out with him when they were touring with Black Label Society. And
oh, yeah, because you guys got kicked out?
Things happened.
Hey, man, things happen. It happens. But, yeah, we're going to be on the phone so we don't have to, like, look at him. Allegedly rumored to be on the tour is Suicidal Tendencies, Children of Bodom, and Havoc. So... basically, that means somebody leaked the tour poster and they're like, here's what the tour lineup is. So we'll find out in next week's podcast who is going to be here on what day and where and all the f***ing details. So, yeah, I mean, is Adler on tour with Megadeth these days, or are they still playing with the guy from Dimmu Borgir?
It's the dude from Angel Corpse and Dimmu Borgir, yeah.
Tony Laureano. Dimmu, Nile, and Angel Corpse, yep.
Guy's got chops. So speaking of drummers that have chops, Dave Lombardo's Dead Cross just recently played their first show in Pomona.
Sick.
And looks like there's a bunch of footage of that. I'm pretty excited about
this band.
It's a sick lineup.
Make out.
Yeah.
I like that little, like, break thing they did in the middle.
Yeah.
That's definitely Dave Slayer chop, though.
Man, this lineup is just so sick, too. Justin Pearson from The Locust and Retox, Mike Crane from Retox, Gabe Serbian from The Locust, Retox, and Cattle Decapitation.
Nice. I could honestly just watch Dave play drums all day.
Right?
Cool. All right. Well, I look forward to hearing what that actually is supposed to really sound like. We'll see. Maybe this is a better version. Probably not. We'll find out. Okay. Let's take this as a side topic here now. People who videotape entire concerts, and they sound like this. When you put it online. If you know it's going to sound like that because you've probably done it before, don't.
For 20 to 30 bucks, you can get a little microphone that plugs right into the headphone jack of your phone. Get much better audio quality.
I mean, I get it because it's Dave Lombardo. I'd probably be doing the same thing. But Jesus, that sounds terrible. At what point do you listen to that and you're like, yeah, man, that was a great show?
So speaking of... yeah, I got nothing. Thought I had something.
Ryan, your segues have been historically terrible these last couple of weeks.
They've really been awful.
You need to go to Segway school.
I used them all up, man. Like a month straight, I had the best effing segues, and I've just been really swinging
your
and missing.
Your segues are hilariously inappropriate or hilariously fucking terrible.
Dude, they've been bad. They've been getting worse.
We've had some bad news stories in the last few weeks that we've been dealing with, so it's hard to like make a joke out of it or whatever.
Yeah.
without coming off as like a truly terrible human being.
Speaking of truly terrible human beings.
There it is.
U2 is going to be joining Eagles of Death Metal on stage in
Paris.
That's
not where I thought you were going to go with that, but all right. All right. That works.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, looks like...
I hate you. But he's right. Eagles of Death Metal are making their return to Paris, obviously, the band that was playing during the Paris terror attacks at the Le Bataclan venue in Paris. And I don't know why U2, but that's cool. I'm sure the show is going to be huge. So it's good to see them getting back on it and getting back out there and playing again. I'm sure it's going to be a very strange atmosphere.
Yeah, man.
It's either going to be kind of sad or probably fucking awesome. I bet people are going to rock out, dude, and I hope so.
Yeah, man.
They need to. You got to get back on the thing. And like as we're going to talk about in the rest of the podcast, there are some people on one side of the argument that say, hey, even if it's 90% safe, is that safe enough? And then there's people on the other side that are like, hey, man, you got to get back on the horse and you got to pick it up and keep going. So yeah. We'll explain who stands on which side in the rest of the podcast. But
I'm kind of hoping that that whole concert serves as kind of like a f*** you.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I'm sure there's going to be a lot of security there. So, yeah, they're getting back on it. That's cool. Let's see here. In case you don't have enough stuff, you can go buy some new Iron Maiden headphones.
For $300.
Jesus, this better be good. All right, there's a Japanese electronics company called Onkyo Corporation. And starting December 4th, they are going to be providing fans of Iron Maiden rock and heavy metal the ultimate way to hear their music. Like they made these four Iron Maiden records. With the clarity and full acoustic range required by Maiden bassist, founder member, and co-producer Steve Harris. My guess, and I'm not trying to talk right off the bat, even though I am. I guess I am. Okay. Somebody put these things on Steve Harris. They were like, hey, how do these sound? He was like, sounds good. They were like, all right, cool. Iron Maiden headphones.
Boom. Done.
He goes on and talks about it. So I'm sure that he's been working with them. So, I mean, like, he understands. Steve Harris is a genius. He's a musical genius. He writes almost all of the Maiden music, at least almost all of my favorite Maiden songs.
I'm looking at the specs of these things, and I'm checking out these screenshots they have at the bottom. I don't know if they come with some kind of app to go with the headphones that
Maiden
allows
audio.
You to do all this stuff. Looks like it comes with some kind of special EQ customizer.
Like an EQ app. This is like, I guess if they work and are legit, that would be perfect for like studio guys, producers, stuff like that. Yeah. So go buy those this Christmas. Go buy some Iron Maiden headphones. There's a new band, another super group. Sometimes band dudes get tired of playing with their friends or their current set of friends and want to play with their other friends, and then their friends get together and they make friends. And then you get bands like Venomous Concept. It's, I don't know if you're still following me after that, but it's Danny Lilker and Kevin Sharp from Brutal Truth, who just broke up last year. Napalm Death member Shane Embry on bass, Danny Herrera on drums, and guitarist John Cook. They have apparently their third full-length record. I thought this was a new band. Well,
yeah.
Kick Me Silly is the name of the record, and I guess you can do that. On January 8th, 2016, on Seasons of Mist, 22 songs.
Whoa.
Venomous Concept, is that like a Poison Idea ripoff?
I think so.
Is that like a tip of the cap?
You know, I think it'd be really fun to sit down and think of all the band names that are technically the same thing. Like Brain Drill and Cerebral Bore.
Right.
Like stuff like that.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, it's all, especially all in metal. Just like Blood, Death, Angels.
Yeah.
Corpse, Rip.
There's your new band. Blood, Death, Angels.
Corpse, Rip, Angel, Ripper. Band Generator, right there. Band name Generator.
Just have Ian spit profanity.
An angel pissing cloud.
So Kerry King recently, I guess, came out and said some really hella stereotypical American stuff. If you cave in and go home, you're letting the terrorists win.
All right, so that's where
about
he is on that.
That's about not canceling your tour in the wake of the Paris attacks. And you know, man, as much respect as I have for Kerry King, that's one of those situations where you just keep your fucking mouth shut, man.
I mean, yes and no. He was asked a question, I'm sure, and he was speaking into a Belgian journalist whose name is Tom De Smet, by the way. He makes some points that I agree with. He says, I mean, I guess. He says, I'm surprised that it took the terrorists this long to target a rock concert because they hate rock music. They hate our lifestyle. They hate our freedom, and that's why we... And they hate that we enjoy ourselves. And of course it sucks. What happened makes everybody think twice about risking their lives to see a band play. But if you stop going to concerts or stop playing at them, you just do what the terrorists want you to do. It is very important to carry on and to do what you do and love what you do. And, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that goes through life worrying all the time. We took airplanes right after 9/11. We played shows right after Dimebag was shot. Sure, things can go wrong, but you might also step out this building here and get run over by a car. Just do what you love doing and stop worrying. I think there's a balance between the two.
Right.
I think that there's a very serious threat. There's f***ing shootings every day, all the time, all over the place. All it would take for somebody to do this anywhere else. And now the thing is that the precedent is set. It's been done. It's possible in people's minds now. All I'm saying is that, especially in foreign countries like that, maybe obviously not as much in the U.S., hopefully for now or for whatever. But yeah, well, if you're going to go play a show in Paris or in Belgium or where they had to shut down the country, they had to shut down the schools and everything because they had very credible threats, that's, you know, so that's him being an American to a Belgian journalist who is dealing with this on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
You know, like curfews, no, don't be out at night, all this other, like literally shutting down the f***ing country.
Yeah.
So there's different realities, man.
You know, they definitely pulled the douchiest quote out of that whole interview to put it right at the top of it, too.
Yeah, of course. If you cave in and you go home, you're letting the terrorists win. Yeah, it sounds like some Fox News.
Right.
But, you know, there's always context to everything.
See, this is the interview I want to read about the Paris attacks. Mark Barney Greenway from Napalm Death. And the quote is, "I'm not scared by it." I'm still kind of going through this article a little bit. Let's see.
Yeah, he's the thing with Barney is that he's a little long-winded because he's very smart and he knows a lot. I did an interview on the phone with Barney once where I swear to Christ, I didn't ask him a question for 20 straight minutes. He just went on a monologue and I was just sitting there listening going, "Yep, mm-hmm.
I bet you were just getting. Yep. I bet you were just getting mind f like half
like,
the time.
Oh my
too.
God, this is like listening to your music." And here's what he says. Okay, I think one thing that is a danger. It's not to justify, but I think you cannot put that incident in isolation. There are many things that go on in the world: violence on a local level, intimidation, and all of it is not acceptable. Not just one piece. I mean, obviously there was a lot of grandstanding involved with the attacks in Paris. It was significant in the sense that it was made for maximum publicity, clearly. But there are other things equally abhorrent in the world, and I think it all has to be looked at on the same level.
Hmm.
So that's another aspect of it as well. But there's a difference between, like, me being mean to my neighbor and somebody walking in with an AK-47.
Yeah.
So there's another halfway point right there. I like that, though. And I like that people are chiming in about it because it's important. It's something that it impacted music and the way we do shows and the way we think about seeing music live.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go on and read off. I think it's the last one. It was Mr. Where's the article? I can't find it. But it, basically, it was the guy from Soilwork, and he was saying pretty much the same thing. He was like, "Hey, man, we need to get back on the boat.
Right.
Get back on stage. Get back and doing what we do because we need to do it. So it's very important. Get back out there. Don't be scared. That's what they want you to do. Be scared.
Be scared."
And you know what they also want you to do is to turn into a Muslim f***ing xenophobe. They want you to hate Muslim people. They want you to hate people that are different than you because it fuels their agenda. It fuels their propaganda movements. Every time there's somebody in the United States that goes and beats up a Sikh or a Muslim guy just because of his faith, it's fuel to the fire for these other people. So it's all about awareness and acceptance. Just be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You can accept people that are different than you.
You can't judge the entire Muslim population on the acts of that not even 1% of...
Right.
It's...
And the only political thing I want to say about this is that I was watching an interview where a talking head journalist on TV was interviewing the head of a mosque, a Muslim mosque, and he was like, "So are you guys going to apologize for this?" And and the guy was like, "For what? Like, I didn't do this. You know, nobody at my church did this. I don't know these people. Why do I need to apologize for that?" It's like every time... Why didn't the entire Christian right wing apologize for Timothy McVeigh blowing up the Oklahoma City building?
That's,
you know,
such an offensive thing to ask somebody.
So it's just be aware and, you know, be cool with people that are different than you. Because when you're not, this is what we get. So let's not do that. Let's just scrap it. Oi to the world, man. Oi to the world. A little more bad news this week. Might as well just keep on going. This, their second King Diamond concert in a row has been canceled due to his case of acute laryngitis. What is laryngitis? I've had tonsillitis. Is laryngitis like your esophagus?
I think so. I think it's
like your pipes, your cords.
I think it's the one that actually really screws with your vocal cords.
Laryngitis. And if the king's hitting those high notes, man.
Yeah, man. Can't do that while you're sick. I mean, death metal guys might have it a little bit easier. You know, if you're nice and sick, maybe it'll make it sound a little more brutal, you know?
Yeah.
You have a coughing fit, they're just like, whoa, those new lyrics are sick.
Apparently they had to jam something down his throat to take a look at it, and the unforeseen effect of the anesthetic used in the examination on Monday delayed the healing process. So he says that the king has for once been silent, trying his damnedest to bring enough vocal cords back to complete the rest of the tour, which for them is a big deal. It's a lot of money. Yeah, a lot of tickets sold, a lot of obligations there. So that would really suck for them. So I bet he's literally silent. Not saying using sign language, writing down on notepads. Bring me some tea. Signed, the king.
The king requires. I hope he just writes the king requires at
bring
the top
me some
of all-
oatmeal.
On the top
and
of all the notes.
Pudding.
The king requires a pillow.
The king requires new face paint.
So speaking of lots of money, Motorhead has decided to slap their name on a cider that's going to be released in Sweden.
How many f***ing Motorhead alcoholic drinks are there now?
That I was about to say, I feel like...
There's four that I can think of. There's a red wine, there's a vodka, there's a beer, and now a cider.
There's two beers.
Five, then.
Yeah. I think they're doing the cider now because they ran out of stuff to slap their logo on.
Well, they just want to drink something. They got tired. Remember, because we was like, I like orange juice better, so Coca-Cola can f*** off. He's like, I'm tired of my vodka and whiskey. I want some cider, goddammit.
I'm Lemmy. I like fruit now. F*** you. My legs are f***ed.
In the Decibel interview in 2004 that the manager for Motorhead did, he said... This was the compromise with the doctors. Trade the Jack for the wine. So stop drinking Jack, start drinking wine. He thinks wine's better than Jack, but it's still got tons of sugar. He doesn't tell them he's drinking two f***ing bottles either. These are the battles we're up against. He doesn't grasp that he's just trading one demon for the other. So, and then here's a cider. Try this out, Lemmy. Lemmy, I love you, dude. I will always love you. And Bruce Dickinson and the entire band of Iron Maiden once went to go see the Iron Maidens, the world's first female tribute to Iron Maiden. They saw them play live, and I think they were in Australia. Oh, wait, no, in Mexico. So he says, I've seen the Iron Maidens in Mexico. We all went, we were watching them, and I said to Steve Harris, this is a really weird question, but looking at them, would you f*** yourself? And he went, I don't know, but we've all been thinking it. It was very, very weird. Would you f*** yourself? Hey, would you f*** yourself?
Yeah, everything's better with a British accent.
I just think that's f***ing amazing. That's like one of those weird universal like coincidences. Imagine being the Iron Maidens and f***ing looking out and seeing Iron Maiden f***ing standing there. Would you f*** yourself?
Well, did you hear about
I would totally fuck me.
Did you hear about David Gilmour hiring the world's top Pink Floyd cover band to play at his birthday party?
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, and
but, terrifying.
They asked him why he did it. Just like, dude, you're in Pink Floyd. Why the f*** would you do that?
Because I didn't want to.
And he just said, well, you know, I've always heard that Pink Floyd puts on a really great show, and I've never gotten to see one.
Good point. Very good point. Oh, that's great. Oh, brevity. This is the last thing I want to say about Scott Weiland. But the very strange nature of Scott Weiland's death this week leads to him being dead in the second half of the week, but the first half of the week he was playing shows doing interviews. So earlier this week in an interview, he straight up said, "F*** ISIS, and if they come after me, I'll f***ing pull out my Glock 17.
Holy sh**.
Oh, that's f***ing sweet. Scott, you're a f***ing badass. Let me repeat that. F*** ISIS, and if they come after me, I'll f***ing pull out my Glock 17. There's no way he's not a felon. But yeah, so there's where Scott Weiland stood on ISIS, for the record. R.I.P. Moving on to just equally as ridiculous.
I was about to say, the title of this article is confusing the out of me. President Obama sings, quote unquote, Korn's Freak on a Leash. No, did he actually sing it, or is it somebody like chopping it together?
Not last week, but the week before that, we talked about how in one of his speeches to wounded soldiers, he was talking to one of the soldiers who woke up in a hospital bed to a visit from President Obama, and he thought, because he was all hallucinating and just all f***ed up, that he thought it was Jonathan Davis from Korn. He didn't know it was President Obama standing at his bedside talking to him. He thought it was f***ing Jonathan Davis. Freak on a Leash, right? So in the speech, Obama's like, "No, I'm actually not the singer of Korn." So here is this amazing piece of creation, musical creation. 1 minute.
"I am not the lead singer from Korn."
And then it like.
"Feeling like a freak on a leash. Release. How many times have I felt this? Nothing in my life is free. Is free. Sometimes I cannot take this place. Sometimes it's my life. I cannot face.
Dancing.
I cannot feel my face. You'll never see me fall from grace. Something takes part of me. You and I were meant to be."
That's okay, guys. These are good. They won't land on you.
It's been Obama reading a book to little kids that are screaming and crying.
"You'll be okay."
"You'll be okay." So the theory is nobody's ever seen Jonathan Davis and Obama in the same room.
That was really great. I'm mildly disappointed that when you hit play, it wasn't him just like walking like down the street, just like feeling like a freak on a leash, just like underneath his breath or something, you know?
I guarantee you at one point in his life, Obama has sang along to that song.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you he sang along to that song. When he was in the Senate in his nu metal days. So there's a band from Taiwan called Chthonic, and they have a huge gig at Liberty Square in the country's capital of Taipei. And it's going to be up to about 10,000 people. It's a free show coming up on 26th of December, Boxing Day. And alongside that, after being around for about 20 years and marking the 70 years after the end of World War II, that's in honor of that is why they're throwing this free show. And on top of that, their singer Freddie Lim has decided to run for Congress in Taiwan, which I have no idea what's going on with Taiwanese politics or anything that goes on over there. But it's pretty awesome that he is a metal lead singer trying to be a congressman.
Yeah.
Don't see that very often. I mean, you'd see that kind of thing in like Norway.
Yeah.
Or Sweden or Finland or something like that.
Where it's totally normal.
He's the first rock star in Eastern Asia to do this and is standing for a brand new political party, the NPP, which is leading the pro-democracy youth movement in Taiwan. Cool. So he's recently lent his public profile to several social movements, and it's a brand new political party. They're like, "Hey, we're going to do something new." I think that's kind of cool. So Chthonic are on Spine Farm Records right now out of the UK. They played Wacken last year and Bloodstock, and they're all over the place. So next time they come to town, be like, "Hey, man. You just met a congressman."
That's kind of cool.
We were outside talking about my lack of ugly Christmas sweaters.
Right.
Do you have one? I didn't.
No, I bring it in every year. I just have the one with the goat's head wearing the Santa's hat.
The black one?
Yeah. That's the only one I have.
That's a good one, man.
There's one that I really wanted to get. It was awesome. It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on surfboards with Scully from X-Files. And it says, the truth is totally out there, man. And then it's got like a, and then there's a bunch of Christmas trees and behind them.
Truth is out there, far out there. The reason I even ask is Kerry King recently admitted that he owns his own band's Christmas sweater. He has a Slayer ugly Christmas sweater here. He says, I've certainly not worn it. Bull. I do have one, though. I remember the first year it came out, I was adamantly against it. I thought it was f***ing awful. And of course, Tom loved it. I thought, well, Tom loves it. I'm not going to step on his feet and smash it, you know? There's a market for it. And actually, the one that came out the second year was actually cool. I liked it. So I have that one. I thought if I'm going to have one, I'll have this one because this one's actually cool. Fair enough. The sweater retails for $89.99.
Jesus.
That's so, like buying a fucking ICP jersey.
Yeah, man. No joke.
They are pretty cool, though. They're all over print skulls, pentagrams, Slayer.
Slayer, man. That's so Slayer.
$89.99. That's so skate.
So skate.
God, that hoodie's so skate. Trucks to the back of the head.
More Slayer news. So Jeff Hanneman's God, I always mispronounce his name, and I always feel
you,
like a
this
dick.
Is okay. This is a good speech therapy for you. Say Jeff Hanneman 5 times.
Jeff Hanneman, Jeff Hanneman, Jeff Hanneman, Jeff Hanneman, Jeff Hanneman, Jeff Hanneman. I think
that was 6, but that's
yeah,
cool.
Whatever.
You should probably do it 61 more times.
Oh, there you go.
See, simple math. Can't do it. I'm glad we didn't pass that test. Have to do that. The point is that at one point when a rock star passes away, especially when you're at the level of a guy like Jeff Hanneman, you have endorsements, you have a decent financial safety net in the fact that you can buy and sell and have basically whatever kind of gear you want. Mm-hmm. But when you die, that gear is just going to sit there in a collection or it's going to be sold to somebody. In this case, his guitars were recently sold.
Well, let me add to that a little bit. Normally, those collections, they get parted off, you know, pieces go to different places.
They got done to, like, Hard Rock Museum, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, stuff like that.
All that kind of stuff. So it all gets separated. Recently, the bulk of his guitars, his main guitars, I'm sure it's not the bulk, I'm sure the guy
the famous
had
ones,
just
yeah.
an absurd amount of guitars, but his most famous guitars, the core of his guitar collection, was put up for auction, and one guy bought them all, and it was the guitarist from Broken Hope, and he said in this interview that I'm reading right now, riffs are just flowing out of me. I feel a responsibility to Jeff and to Catherine, who is his widow,
right.
To use these guitars in a way that honors him. As long as I own these guitars, I will use them and carry on Jeff's legacy. He remains a huge influence to me, and I probably wouldn't be here as an extreme metal guitarist / lyricist without him. And I think this is really effing cool, man, that he's actually going to use them, that they're not just going to be hucked up on a wall and put in cases and things like that. I'm sure you're not going to see him touring with them.
That's a good question.
But I think it's
maybe one of because he bought 4 guitars.
Mm-hmm. And it's in this picture that it's of him standing with all the guitars. It looks like he's got 7 of them. I don't know if those were purchased.
No, you're right.
Separately,
it says in the article 4, but those are definitely all 4 Hanneman guitars.
All 7 of those are Hanneman guitars. So I don't know if he.
Wow, that Seasons in the Abyss guitar is awesome.
Yeah, dude, these are all, every single one of these guitars is really, really cool.
And on top of that, $12,000 was the original asking price for each guitar in the auction. He got in touch with Catherine and purchased the guitars for an undisclosed amount. And all of the money from the auction, Catherine is donating to the Wounded Warriors Project.
Which is rad.
Which is awesome.
Good warm fuzzies.
No matter what your politics are regarding that kind of stuff. People who need help, dude.
Yeah.
And those guys need some help because they, put it on the line for us. And I think that's pretty rad. I mean, we here at the radio station, the Men's Room Red goes to benefit the Fisher Foundation, or the Fisher House, which is where family members of stationed soldiers get to live for free, which mm-hmm. is pretty cool. So it's good to see people supporting out like that. And obviously, I hope that they're all taken care of. I'm sure they're just fine. But it's cool that they're donating all the money. More Christmas music. Hooray. I guess it's that time of the year. There's a band called Sonata Arctica. You've probably heard of them. And they are the latest to be jumping on the bandwagon, releasing a very special Christmas gift for their fan base. a new single called Christmas Spirits. Is there a link to it anywhere on here? No, there isn't.
I'm not seeing
it. Not yet. So.
Yeah, it looks like there's going to be three tracks on the album. It's going to be the song, a radio-edited version of the song, and an orchestral version of the
song.
Did
they just drop like 10 F-bombs in the middle of it, and they're like, here's the edited version?
Apparently,
I hope so.
Man. I think that'd be hilarious if they went like full 90s hip-hop in the middle of
it. I'm motherfucking Santa Claus, bitch.
For no reason at all, in the middle of the power metal song.
Well, that's cool. Go get that when you can. Okay, so like when you're writing a Christmas song, like a new Christmas song, an original, how early do you have to start writing that in like f***ing springtime, right? Like you're sitting there in the heat of August, like writing a Christmas song, like
maybe you
I'm trying to get into the spirit.
Maybe you just put like one ornament on your desk, like hanging off of your amp, and just kind of stare at it really
intently.
Yeah,
you're like putting sunscreen on, like with your sleigh bells, ting 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 ting. Like, God damn it. Someday I will write a Christmas song and it'll be great.
God, a lot of articles I really have no idea what to make of.
Explain.
All right,
explain what you mean by that.
So Baroness frontman is recalling getting a phone call from James Hetfield, and
which would be wild.
Which would, yeah, obviously be really wild. I'm still halfway through the skimming this here.
Well, what happened is they got into a huge bus crash or a van accident, and
right.
he like shattered his arm, like f***ed his arm up. And they were all in really bad condition.
Right.
And didn't Baroness open up for Metallica in a few?
I think they
did. Like on a tour. I swear to God that they had just recently. So which is why they
knew each other.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I mean, and obviously, James Hetfield and the rest of Metallica know what it's like to be in a f***ed up bus accident.
Right.
You know, obviously Cliff Burton, that whole thing. But he said it was late at night in the trauma ward. Most of the people I was in the room with were elderly, and they'd gone to bed early. I wasn't going to bed at all for some obvious reasons. It was very difficult for me to sleep. The nurse was an older lady, and she said, somebody just called for you, a Jim Hatfield or a John Hartfield, something like that. I told them I wasn't sure if you were awake or taking calls. I said, I don't know anybody by either of those names, but I don't care if they're trying to sell me a dishwasher or life insurance. Bring me the number because I need somebody to talk to desperately. So she handed me the little slip of paper with James Hetfield's name and cell phone number on it. He goes on to say, James said, don't worry, things will get better. I thought, well, if it got better for him, it'll get better for me. And I had many other conversations that weren't with Metallica members where people were telling me things I needed to hear because I wasn't quite believing them myself at the time. And they have a new record coming out on December 18th. More incidents where bands just driving from show to show is the most dangerous thing they will ever do.
So this next article is just wildly offensive.
And just totally uncalled for.
Yeah, really goddamn dumb.
And weird. Weird.
So the title of the headline of the article is Rob Halford and Freddie Mercury make Russian edition of Maxim's list of, quote, gays we respect. And I guess the, let's see, the English translation is, men do not consider men who love men to be men. This is the rule, reads the English translation of the article. That's, what the f***,
there
dude?
Are exceptions. There are gays who have earned our respect and the right to remain real men in our eyes. Russia has a hugely...
This is so messed up, dude.
They have, like, the homophobia issue in Russia is state-sanctioned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will beat the shit out of you. And they do it all the time. People get killed all the time for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy over there. And so that they're even doing this, I hate to say, I guess is a step in the right direction? Question mark times 1,000?
Kinda.
But Halford was held up as evidence that, quote, if you're cool enough, it doesn't matter what your orientation is. While Freddie Mercury is a, quote, exception to all rules. His creativity brought us so much joy that we were willing to forgive him anything. This strikes me particularly because while I was hunting, I was having a conversation with one of the people that was at the camp, and I was playing music, but I was trying to play music for, like, dudes in their 50s. So it was, like, oldies and, you know, Creedence, and, you know, I was playing Queen, I was playing some old Elton John, Fleetwood Mac, you know, just f***ing you'd hear on one of the oldies radio stations. And I got in this conversation with one of the guys who's like, one of the best concerts I ever saw in my life was I got to see Queen live. Like, and he was like, I got to go get all the way up to the front. And then he went on to say later, I don't really like the fact that he was a fudge packer, but he could sing like a motherfucker. And I was just like, man, why does that even have to be in part of the fucking conversation? Because you are just talking, and it like gave me goosebumps because he was talking about seeing Queen live, like Freddie Mercury and all that. And I was like, this is awesome. And then he phrased it with that fucking turn of the paragraph, you know? It was just so weird. So yeah, it's just fucking stupid. Other people who made the list, Ian McKellen, Stephen Fry, Neil Patrick Harris. The thing is, like, all of those people are way cooler than you motherfuckers will ever be.
Right?
Ever. And it doesn't matter if they're gay or not. In fact, most of these people, had they not come out and said it, you wouldn't know that and it wouldn't even be a fucking issue.
Look at the
they're
character.
Just people.
Look at the character Neil Patrick Harris played on How I Met Your Mother for years. He played a womanizing misogynist and did it more convincingly than most.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and he did it way better and way better, funnier manner. So the article, the editor-in-chief of the Russian edition of Maxim told Russian News Service, this is a joke article, it says so in it. However, there is nothing in the text to indicate that the article is meant to be a parody. It doesn't say, warning, this is a spoof, or anything like that. So, a spokesperson for the U.S. Maxim slammed the article, saying, we are deeply disturbed by this article in Maxim Russia and fully condemn it. It is entirely against the views of U.S. Maxim. So, yeah, think about this. 20 years ago, in Russia, homosexuality was a crime. A crime. You could go to jail for it.
And that's something that's a sentence that you would expect to hear a much bigger number in there. Right. Like, 200 years ago in Russia, it was illegal to be, you know,
it's just crazy, man. So, I guess be thankful for the world that we have here, I guess. It's just crazy. F*** you, Maxim.
So, Skid Row, Fozzy, Living Color, and ex-Judas Priest members are going to be paying tribute to Black Sabbath. They're coming out with another Black Sabbath tribute record. Feels like a lot of these have come out. I mean, obviously, Black Sabbath's been around forever, and they're the fathers of metal, so you know, there's no surprise there. But this one actually looks kind of cool, man. It's
eclectic.
Yeah, exactly. There's some players on here that you wouldn't normally see, so I'm pretty stoked to
especially
hear what it sounds
like. Playing together.
Yeah.
So the first one's War Pigs by Chris Jericho from Fozzy. Lord of This World by Trevor McNevin from Thousand Foot Crutch singing. Corey Glover from Living Color doing Into the Void.
Dude, I'm stoked about that one. I love Living Color.
Eric Wagner from The Skull and Trouble doing Electric Funeral. And Tim Ripper Owens from Priest doing Children of the Grave with Carl Sanders from Nile.
That's going to be cool.
And Doug Pinnick from King's X and Ted Kirkpatrick from Tourniquet are doing the rhythm section for the entire record. So there you go. There's another one to grab if you are a huge Sabbath fanboy, or save your money to go see them live when it costs you $5,000. There is a death metal band called Bloodshed that never really saw the light of day. It's Nazem members Anders Jacobson and Miesko Tellers. God, I can never pronounce this fucking last. I'm not even going to try because that's just disrespectful. They had a death metal band called Bloodshed with a 3-song demo called Salvation by Bloodshed, but was never released properly. And the demo cassette tape, was only handed out to a couple of people. 18 years later, this recording is being released as a vinyl on Bone Records, remastered by Dan Sueno. So obviously Miesko passed away in 2004 in the huge tsunami after the Asian earthquake in the middle of the ocean there, while he was trying to save the life of his girlfriend. So this is their old death metal band. Check out a little piece of it. It's pretty rad.
Hmm.
We'll scoot it up here. Yeah, so I'm reading the liner notes that they sent out here, and they're saying that they made only about 10 tapes of this, and they had to recover it from an old DAT tape And this song came off of an old DAT tape, and the other two were remastered from a DAT source. I don't even know what that is, so they're kindly slightly distorted tape copy, the other two songs. But that's a little cool piece of metal history that might not have ever seen the light of day again.
You can kind of hear the influence a little bit, like where the some roots of early Nozzum in that, just a tiny hint of it. That's really cool, man. So speaking of digging up old music, there we go, I'm back on
there
track.
There it is, okay, cool.
The Kurt Cobain album that just came out with a bunch of previously unreleased material didn't even make a dent on the Billboard chart.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So, Spin Magazine is quoted as saying, calling the album pretty inessential, quote-unquote, and noted that, quote, only the biggest, most dedicated Cobain superfans really had any reason to pick up the album.
That's so crazy, man. What they said, there's a guy, his name's Brett Morgan, the guy who did this HBO documentary Montage of Heck, which has also been argued. King Buzzo called it as like a giant piece of I think is what he called it. And so he said that he found a set of materials in a box in an archive from Kurt Cobain's property. And he said, I knew there was going to be all this art, but what I didn't know that there was going to be all this audio. I opened up a box and there were 108 tapes with over 200 hours of never before heard audio. And this ran the gamut from music, dozens of hours of unreleased music to sound collage. And then there was this amazing spoken word material that I had discovered. So I haven't seen this documentary yet, and I've been trying not to.
I don't want to watch it. You know, man,
the Kurt Cobain story is just phenomenally depressing to me. I feel like people are still trying to make money off it.
I just never really got that huge into Nirvana. Nirvana, but I just never got massively huge into it. But Kurt Cobain is such a huge icon that you would expect something like this to have a little bit more of an impact. As much as people talk about him and talk about Nirvana, as much as Nirvana has always played and things like that, you would expect these albums to kind of at least get some kind of bump. But
nah, I think it's like they said, it's a one for the true fans. And like even when they published Kurt Cobain's diary, like the very first fucking page of it says, don't read this. That's the first page. And so, like, my buddy Aiden got it for Christmas when we were, like, 18, 19. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, so torn. He was like, do I read it or do I not read it? Because the fucking first page, Kurt's like, hey, don't do it, dude.
Like, don't read my shit.
Like, and so I know Kurt would probably just be, like, thumbs-upping in his grave right now that it didn't do any good on the Billboard charts. It's like, that's the shit I didn't want anybody to hear anyway. Why'd you release a fucking record full of it?
God. Well, that's kind of depressing to think that all this stuff that this dude made that he didn't want anybody to... I mean, his freaking diary, dude, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's hard to say what he would say now, but that's just my inference. That's what I think.
Right.
Richie Blackmore is 70 years old. Richie Blackmore, of course, of Rainbow and Deep Purple, announced that he's getting the band back together, kind of. So it's going to be Lords of Black singer Ronnie Romero, Stradivarius keyboardist Jens Johansson, Blackmore Knights drummer David Keith, and bassist Bob Nouveau. And what he said is, I'm now 70, so I just felt like playing some rock and roll for a few days. We're going to do 4 or 5 dates, most likely in England, Germany, and Sweden, of just playing the old rock stuff, Purple and Rainbow. I'm doing it for the fans, for nostalgia, and the singer I found is very exciting. He's a cross between Dio meets Freddie Mercury.
God, that'd be cool to see.
Yeah, so this means exposing a new singer to the masses. I'm sure he'll become pretty famous because of his voice. So that would be worth traveling over to the other side of the pond for. Richie Black, do it in the States, man. Come to the States. Richie Faulkner says Judas Priest is getting back in the studio.
Very cool.
How many final tours is a last record, final album, final record? Just kidding. We got a new record coming out next year.
They can't stop, man.
Well, that's what he says. He says, a lot of people say to these guys, what's the secret of doing this for 40 years? You can see why this happens, because it inspires us.
Man.
They're inspired by playing live, and they like to do it.
Well, do what you love,
keep
man.
Keep it. I'll come see Priest every time they play.
No joke.
Keep rocking. Those guys f***ing kick ass.
So speaking of bands that kick ass, Kvalertak is done writing new material. And, man, I heard that band's name pronounced as Kvaterlak, and I almost lost my shit.
Kevin always used to say, way down in the Kvaterlak.
So let's see. Erland recently said, we've had some time off this year and the end of last year, and we've just been working on new material and doing the occasional show here and there. But we've been working on the new album since before the summer. Just been spending a lot of time on that. We're almost done putting together all the tracks. We're missing maybe like two songs. So we'll just get that done once we get home now.
It's been about 3 years since they put a record out.
It has indeed.
In March 2013.
Yeah, both those records that they put out are kick-ass, too. Really interesting, eclectic stuff.
All right, it's the end of our long-ass podcast this week, and we're going to go into brutal poetry too hot for radio. This week, Ryan the Beard taking a passage from Agoraphobic Nosebleed's record, Honky Reduction. Here's a passage investigating the finer lyrics of the song, Die and get the f*** out of my way. Ryan, take it away.
A worthless prospect sprang the wall with your rancid trembling completely useless in your pants. Around yourself, society, a diseased pack of impotent cannibals. A pestilent collection of vapors you leave. Pools of piss like a nervous dog.
Rancid. Well, we'll see if we still have a job next week. And we'll be looking forward to the return of Mr. Garbo Kevin Deers. I hope you guys go punch somebody at the mall, and we'll see you again next week for Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. A goodbye.